The scripture is taken from Matthew 13, and verses are 24 through 30, 36 through 43, 47 through 50. That would be in your pew Bible, page 969. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go out and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that has been let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
We're off to a good start, aren't we? That's a bit stark, isn't it? A bit drastic. But I've got good news in it for all of us. First, I want to tell you about a t-shirt I had. People give me two different kinds of t-shirts. They give me fishing t-shirts and Jesus t-shirts. Sometimes they're mixed together, you know. But about 20 years ago when I was living in Seattle, a good friend of mine gave me a t-shirt that was an offensive Christian t-shirt. And I love this guy, and I love Jesus, so I thought, well, I should wear it, even though it's going to offend people. This t-shirt had an animated character on the front pointing up and pointed down, and it said, "You're either going up or you're going down. Deal with it." And I'm wearing this around Seattle. I think if I was wearing it around Seattle today, I'd see a lot of animated characters looking at me saying, "What are you trying to tell me with your t-shirt?" In some ways, when we hear about the wicked being thrown into the fiery furnace and the good and the bad sorting out in this harsh judgment of God, or this very decisive judgment of God, these parables can be a bit shocking, like my t-shirt was. But I want to tell you today that it was Jesus' original intention to provide valuable encouragement that would help the saints keep going until the very end. And it's the intention and the need of the church today to receive similar encouragement, and that the end result in the end will be a poetic justice and a beautiful restoration from the grip of evil that's on the world. So we'll start with the encouragement to the ancient people of Jesus' time, encouragement that we tend to think about today, and then that upheaval of wrong being turned into right. So when Jesus was preaching this, as Matthew's gospel sets the scene, Jesus is standing in a boat, and there are crowds of people on the shore. It was so thick, the crowds are so thick, he couldn't talk to anybody with them just right up in his face, so he got into a boat and stepped back. And those crowds of people, in Galilee might not have had the privilege of being there in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, and there in Jerusalem when he was risen to the dead from the dead and being one of the people that he appeared to. And they probably definitely didn't have the privilege of standing there when Jesus said, the kingdom's mine and I'm going up to heaven. And the angel said he's going to come back just the way he came. The disciples that were watching Jesus ascend into heaven asked him this question: is now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time when evil gets taken away and all the stumbling blocks are removed and when we see the kingdom? You see, the folks standing on the shore there in Galilee had seen Jesus do miracles, they'd heard him preach, and they were thinking to themselves, this is probably it. We've been waiting for this. This is the king. This is the kingdom. I mean, it'll be a matter of days and we'll be free from the Romans and the whole world will start to come here to worship God and all the eyes of the world will turn toward the one true God and away from idols and we'll be the stars of the show because we were here before it was cool and, you know, this is it. This is the time. And Jesus went away to Jerusalem. He died. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and years went by and maybe 10 or 15 years later they were thinking, well, maybe that wasn't it. Maybe he wasn't the one. You heard Crystal preach a couple weeks ago that John the Baptist went through a time of doubt. John the Baptist, the Bible calls him the greatest man born of woman. He started this huge revival to prepare the way for Jesus. John the Baptist. And he was in prison in a dark place, and even the greatest man ever born went through this time of doubt. He sent messengers to Jesus. Are you the one? Can it really be true? I'm sitting here in a dark place. When I was in high school, I was assigned to read a book. It had to be an assignment. I just don't know why I would have read it otherwise. But it was Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. Fantastic book. A powerful, gut-wrenching book about a little girl who went to the concentration camps and watched her family die. And all the people around her, and she survived it. One day she was preaching to a crowd just like this, preaching in a church and talking about the grace and love of God. And afterwards, somebody came up right down the aisle, came up to her, and she vaguely recognized the face. And then she realized it was one of the Nazi guards from the concentration camp. And he said, "Will you forgive me?" And she was repulsed at the idea, absolutely disgusted. But the Lord spoke to her and said, "You need to forgive him." And after some wrestling, she did. She was flooded with joy and peace. And you can't be Corrie Ten Boom. You can't do that without this good news that Jesus preached about the wheat and the tares. That the presence of evil does not equal the absence of God. That just because we see rooted around us that which has been sown by Satan, that doesn't mean that the kingdom hasn't come or isn't coming. Christ, the King of the kingdom, has sown his good seed, and the presence of evil does not equal the absence of God. That is the good news, the encouragement to those people on the lakeshore. They needed to know that because the time would come when business would just carry on as usual and they would wonder, what about all those things we saw? Maybe that just wasn't real. Maybe he isn't really the king. Jesus is encouraging them. This fiery furnace, all this talk that's so hard to hear, perhaps, is a word of encouragement. It's encouraging to the people on the lakeshore 2,000 years ago, and it's encouraging to us, the church crowd, today. You may have heard a saying like this, that Satan fell from heaven and landed in the choir loft. I was listening to a guy preaching on this subject, and he talked about a preacher's son who didn't know any cuss words, and he was being bullied at school. And he was thinking, oh man, I don't know what to call this guy. And finally he said, you board member. Even in churches sometimes we got problems, right? And that's how we usually hear it. We hear this parable, we think the wheat and the tares, they're next to each other. When that wheat sprouts up, when you see the fruit, yep, there's the tares right next to it. You see God working, there's the enemy throwing up some mess right in the middle of our beautiful church. Well, maybe if the Lord wouldn't have told us about the wheat and the tares, we might think maybe he's abandoned us, or maybe our church isn't really the right church, we should go start one down the road. But he's given us the encouragement we need to stick with it, to be faithful and to know that he's at work even while the enemy's at work. Jesus, the sower of the good seed, has sown the good seed and it's bearing fruit. And the presence of evil, even in the church, does not mean the absence of God. So that's a word of encouragement for the church today. The most encouraging word that Jesus gives for us as we're sitting here in a congregation this morning is when he pulls his disciples aside and they're sitting in the house and they're hearing him speak. And he starts to explain the parable and who this is and who that is. And he says, the good seed is the daughters and sons of the kingdom. Daughters and sons of the kingdom. We're told in the scripture that we're the Lord's children by way of adoption. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. And kids don't go into adoption centers and open up brochures and pick which country they want their parents to come from. The parents adopt the children, and the kids are passive. So what this is saying is that you, good seed of the kingdom, you planted of the Lord, your position, which is so great, your position is a gift, an absolute gift. This is the word grace. You've heard that we're saved by grace alone. That word and its meaning corresponds to the Old Testament word favor. You belong to God because of God's divine favor, undeserved favor. God chose you. God decided on you. God planted you. And here you are. And here you will stay. Patiently enduring, although the enemy may plant evil things in your life and evil things around you. And I haven't even seen the headlines today, but I bet some of it's bad news. Here you stay, planted of the Lord. You have been chosen and planted, and you will bear fruit, and it's entirely a gift. Entirely a gift. It's not of your own doing. So as you hear this parable, and somebody hearing my voice sometime might doubt and wonder, am I really good seed? Am I really destined to enter the kingdom and be brought into the fish basket or brought into the barn and not thrown into the fire? Because there's this problem. The ones that were thrown out, and the seeds that were weeds and bundled up and cast into the fiery furnace, they were thrown there because of their sin, because of their lawlessness and because of their evil deeds and because they caused sin. And a heart might hear this parable and think, I don't know if I like this because I've been a sinner. I've even caused sin. So what's to make me think that I won't be gathered up into a bundle and thrown into the furnace? Well, if you're able to have that fear, I would say that it's grace, that it's God's favor that's given you that fear. And I'm not turning to a scripture to tell you this. I'm turning to John Newton, who sang Amazing Grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fear is relieved. You see, the scripture does say that the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. And so that same spirit that says, adopted, chosen, you're mine. I looked through the book and chose you. You didn't look through the book and choose me. That same spirit can say fear in order to say relief. So no matter how you hear this parable, no matter how you see this offensive t-shirt today, if it strikes you at all and catches your attention at all, I speak to you as good seed. I speak to you as a child of the kingdom. So be encouraged. Be encouraged by the final point. And that is that the tables will be turned at the end. The end of this parable, although it sounds harsh and fiery furnace and everything, it's a matter of poetic justice. As Jesus gives the meaning of the parable, he's giving two references to the book of Daniel. One is the shining like the brightness of the sun, and the second is the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 12, Daniel receives a vision, a revelation about the end, about the resurrection. And he says, those who are righteous will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, those who are wise will shine like the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars of the universe. Jesus repeats that when he gives the meaning of this parable. The good seed will shine. You're going to be bright and brilliant. And when Amazing Grace sang, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, the first 500 times I sang that, I always thought that environment would be bright shiny as the sun. But it's we who will be emitting light. That's the kind of glory that God intends to be fruitful with the seed that he plants. The time is coming when that great thing will happen. Also, Daniel talks about the fiery furnace. When Jesus gives his parables, he's talking about things that are everyday life for people. Fish, agriculture, fiery furnaces. Well, there weren't a lot of fiery furnaces in Galilee that people were thrown into. It just wasn't an everyday thing. Oh, there's a fiery furnace. That wasn't it. But there were a lot of Bibles. There were a lot of scrolls with the book of Daniel where it was preached, and they remembered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Where the devil, through Nebuchadnezzar, said, if you don't bow down to evil, I'll throw you into a furnace of torment. And you and I live in a world where sometimes we feel that threat. If you don't bow down to evil, I'm going to not be your friend. If you don't bow down to evil, you're not going to be promoted. If you don't bow down to evil, you're not going to keep your job. If you don't bow down to evil, you won't be accepted at this dinner table. If you don't bow down to evil, you'll be cast into this furnace. And in the end, the tables are turned. And those who have bowed down to good are spared from the fiery furnace. And the one that gave the threat ends up in the furnace. And the children receive the inheritance of the parents. The children of the devil receive what the devil has, what the devil inherits, and that is the furnace that he himself threatened with. The children of the king, the children of Jesus, the children of the Lord inherit what belongs to the Lord, and that is glory, light, brilliance, brightness, radiance, the radiance and glory of God. Now, I expected this before I even read Faces. We still have a small problem. And that is, even with this poetic justice and the bad guy gets thrown into the trap that he made for others, there's still this problem that it's people going into this fiery furnace. That's a sad thought. That's not a happy thought. Well, if you're troubled by that, if that's sad, if you're grieved by it, I want you to know you're in good company. Not just because it grieves me, but because it grieves the Lord. The scripture says that God does not desire the death of anyone. But even so, it will happen. This will happen. This is the encouragement. That there will be a kingdom set apart where there's no more threat, no more stumbling block, no more lawlessness, no more evil, no more violence, no more intimidation. And even in church, every chair will be filled with joy. Because God created the whole world to be a church. The field is the world. We hear this parable talked about the wheat and the tares, like even in church, you know, you got good and bad. That's the normal interpretation, and there's reasons for it. But I'll remind you of what I said in the first sermon I preached when I got here, is that when God created the world, God created it to be a temple. God created the world to be the place where humankind, where heaven and earth would be together. Humankind and God would be together. God created Adam and Eve without sin. He told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And they were to fill the earth with the image of God. And the presence of God would be there with them too. And in the end, when Jesus comes back, he will root out of his kingdom. It's going to be removed. everything that causes sin and stumbling blocks, so that the whole world will be church and good church. Best church. Very, very best church forever. The whole world, restored nature, restored human bodies, restored heaven and earth being together again. That's the good news. That's the encouragement of this parable. And so, as I was wearing this offensive t-shirt in Seattle one day, I forgot I had it on. I went to the grocery store and I was checking out my tacos or whatever it was. And the woman across the counter said, "I like your shirt." I looked down, I started to blush. And then I could see in her eyes that she really did, and that she took some comfort just in knowing that standing across the counter from her was a brother in the Lord, somebody who loved God. Maybe in the break room she was ostracized for being the religious one, and maybe around her dinner table she was the only one who loved the Lord. Maybe at work, some other place, some other way, maybe she felt that threat of the fiery furnace of rejection. And she saw in my offensive t-shirt some reason for encouragement and for hope. So, maybe I've been beating a dead horse. Maybe you're not the least bit offended by all this talk about the fiery furnace and the thought of neighborhood people being thrown into it if they don't turn to the Lord. Personally, that's hard for me. I gotta say some things about it. And I do believe that this parable was given for our encouragement. So, be encouraged, children of the kingdom. Your future home is a home of righteousness with no more threats. And you'll never, ever meet someone who's scared of being rejected by God, who has no hope, because that fear is by grace. And grace will relieve the fears that are stirred up. So teach encouragement and share it as you bear fruit and patiently endure. No matter how much evil you're surrounded by, even evil that you see in you, it's all going to be rooted up. God will come, justice will happen, and the pit that the devil dug for us, the devil will fall into. May we receive God's grace today and forever. Amen.